Hello, my name is Tim Price. I want to welcome you today to the Christian Life and Leadership Podcast. I'm so thankful that you're listening and part of this journey with me. I've been doing these podcasts now for several months, and the indirect goal is to minister to and encourage and help support ministry leaders, pastors, church staff, and other people like that. But anybody who's listening is welcome, and most of this fits with parenting and other aspects to just living out our faith everyday basis, and that's becoming more and more important to me, and I'm praying for you that you're growing in your walk with the Lord, and thankful that you're a part of this podcast with me. If you have any questions or any thoughts related to anything that I share here, I'd love to have you just send me an email to tim@harvestministryteams.com, and would love to connect that way as well. Today, we're going to talk about a few practical actions to improve your life and ministry, and we'll share these in just a moment. All right, these are four practical actions that can improve our life and ministry. And some of these have come just from reading a couple different books recently. One was a small book called Life is Like a Musical, and I think at least two or three of these came from that book. But these are things that I'm actually kind of working on since getting a hold of these through that book and other reading. And I can see these being beneficial for all of my ministry friends and connections. So these are the four things. Number one, clap the loudest for those who are learning. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that we have a tendency in life to applaud the big-time leaders. It comes naturally. It seems simple. And it's not just in the theater world or the music world or the sports world. It's in the ministry universe as well, that we find successful ministries and leaders who have over-the-top amazing projects. They seem to do everything right. They are often part of the biggest churches and the most successful ministries. They have the strongest sales of resources and the largest social media followings. And we're thankful for their witness for sure. And we appreciate the input and the opportunity to be encouraged and to be inspired. And we want to learn and we want to grow. And so we trust those recognized names and leadership are helping us lead the way in our own ministries. But I also don't want to forget to applaud for those who are learning. And beginners need encouragement. Younger, less experienced people around us need to know that we're behind them, that they're off to a good start, and that they have potential. We need to give them the biggest applause. And of course, the ministry leaders are human just like us. They also need encouragement. And often when you get in the spotlight, life even gets tougher in some ways. But I want to invite us not to get so caught up in the big successes and the people around us that we forget that the young people, the next generation of leaders, those who are just starting out, those who are just beginning, will eventually be the big successes. So we need to join them now. I love the scripture in Zechariah 4:10 that says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." So clap the loudest for those who are learning. The second thing is that we need to say more than, "I'm busy." "I'm busy" is a typical response in any adult conversation. I hear it often, and I have often said it. But this little book that inspired me to stop, think about these few things. One of the things is to stop responding with this statement, "I'm just so busy." Now, the reason is because life is busy. If you're not working on the clock for work, you're on the clock at home to make sure things go smoothly in life in general. And if you have all your home stuff nailed down, then you have relational connections, all of which have their own level of messiness and unpredictability. And there are also problems to be solved and issues to be addressed and items to be accomplished. And most people with whom you are talking to are likely just as busy as you are. And often ministry leaders seem to feel like they have even a upped level of busyness because of the nature of work. It never actually stops. The to-do list is always there. The people always have needs. There's always something that you could do. But instead of responding so generally and happily negative with the statement that everybody else responds with, which is, "I'm so busy," take a moment to make a connection with somebody. So if somebody comes up to talk and say, "How's life going?" Well, talk about something more meaningful than your schedule. Ask and listen. Ask questions and be available to encourage and hear the other person. And here's another take on this phrase. Be thankful that you are busy. Be thankful that you have a business to tend, that you have a family or a home or a work to do. Be thankful that you've been contracted to use your gifts in whatever fashion. And a full life and schedule, they really are blessings. So we need to take that in stride. Now, of course, you have this small group of friends, the support group in your life, where you are able to let your guard down and sort of say, yeah, I've kind of been overwhelmed here with this issue or that issue. There are things in life that fill up our emotional processes and our thinking and our time and our investments. And, you know, somebody in our life close to us gets sick or has some kind of major problem. I don't want to discount that, but we want to make sure that we aren't just falling into the trap of the culture to say, oh man, I'm busy, and make it seem like it's a bad thing. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 says, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Well, number three is another thought that can really help improve life and ministry, is that a smile can trick the brain. I've written about this on other occasions, and if you go to my blog post, timpriceblog.com, you can find the links to other places. But I'm just reminded again that when we smile, our brains think we are happy. And as smart as our brains are, it's so intertwined to our physical body, just the whole thing, spiritual, mind, body, so all that together. When we smile, our brains believe that we're happy. It sends that message that things are going great. We're delighted to see something, or we've met somebody cool, or we hear something awesome, and it's a smile signals to our brains to move ahead with the great responses that come with being happy and joyful, like the release of those chemicals that improve our mood and bring us joy. And really, it's as simple as smiling anytime, anywhere. It's free. It's not contingent on anything. It's just a great response to life. So I just invite you today to think of something joyful and smile about it. Remember a memory and smile. Recount God's faithfulness and smile. Be around somebody that makes you laugh and smile. It really is powerful, and it helps others. And I like this scripture verse 15:30 from Proverbs. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health. Proverbs 15:30. That really is true, that whenever we have a cheerful look, a smile on our face, then it signals to our brain and our heart and the rest of us in our life that we are moving ahead, following Christ in faith, joyful and content in whatever comes our way. So we have clap the loudest for those who are learning. Say more than just saying, I'm busy. A smile can trick the brain, so smile more. And then one last one. Be extra nice to those who serve. I like to know the names of people who are serving me in various aspects of life. People who are checking me into motels or ringing me out at the cashier at some store, Walmart or Target or wherever. And it's really a small, simple connection that doesn't happen very often. I just like to know the names of those people, the bank teller and the post office and all that, because it's just a kindness that is kind of ongoing. And it's a thankfulness to the people who serve, even though we're probably never going to be really, really connected. We recently stayed at a motel in Nashville, Tennessee, 2 times in 1 month. And during our second visit, the breakfast attendant happily greeted us when I remembered her name from our earlier visit. And it's those kind of experiences that kind of continue to motivate me to be extra nice to the people who are serving in our culture. And the goal of kindness really should be to bring joy to people who serve us, not to get something in return. And the resulting connections really can be amazing. You never know when a person serving you will eventually become someone for you to serve in some fashion. And that's definitely true in the places we're at on a regular basis, aside from the motels, places like the post office and other places, or people with whom we work who may not be as high up on the organizational chart. And in that sense, I always try to befriend in a natural way, not for my own benefit, but to befriend in a natural way those who are serving on the front lines, and especially like in our own church, our own ministry, like the church custodian. I've always found that to be one of the most important connections when doing ministry around the building, setting up for conferences and all kinds of students and kids in and out in droves each weekend. And it's great to be able to have a friendship and a connection with those who are making all the behind-the-scenes things happen, the, the tables and the chairs and the trash and the restrooms. I would really never make it without them doing what they're doing. So I'm always thinking about the fact that some of those roles in life are the ones that we need to be extra nice to. It's important. And I think about that from the standpoint of people in the next generation. Often it's easy for adults to dismiss the kids and the students in ministry, in the church or just in schools or just in general. And one of the things I think about the kids in our church is that one of these days, one of those kids could be my pastor. So we want to be extra nice to those who serve or work with us or are in our life. There's really no reason to look down on them. It's good to be big tippers as Christians. It's good to make sure that we are thinking of those who are cleaning motel rooms or serving and clean up around our community or city. It's all so important. I remember one time reading a book called Nickel and Dimed, and it was a lady who went undercover as a maid in a motel and then again as a server in a restaurant, and she wrote a book about her experience. And that had a big impact on me because I began thinking about that often those people are overlooked, and we just want to make sure that we're not doing that. So I think that one scripture verse that might fit with that is from Matthew 20, 25 through 28. And the last verse of that says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus taught that, and he made it clear that as Christians, we are here to serve others. So we want to be extra nice to the people who are serving us. So these four things today: clap the loudest for those who are learning, say more than just "I'm busy," your smile can trick your brain, and I want you to be extra nice to the people who are serving you. And I want to invite you today to incorporate all of these, if you can, or at least one of them, with your daily actions today and this week, and just to take note of how it might make a difference in your life and in your ministry. Well, thank you for listening, and I want to give a shout out to each person who rates this podcast and writes a review or shares it or even comes up and just talks to me about it. I appreciate each one of those comments. I have a couple announcements in just a moment. I think I've shared this already, but we have opportunities for young adults to serve in Harvest Ministry. And whether or not you're listening to this podcast episode, which is coming out in the spring, or you listen to it some other time during the year, we have these options during the summer on any given season. But Harvest Ministry will travel for about 5 or 6 weeks this summer, serving as music and worship leaders for children and youth camps around Illinois. And we would love to have you connect with us. If you're a young adult, or if you know of a young adult who is in college or around college age, or in that season of life with the flexibility of being gone for 6 full weeks, then I would love for you to send them to our website, harvestministryteams.com. And if they like music, or they sing, play an instrument, or do tech ministry, each of those roles are needed for this summer, and it'd be awesome to connect with them. And again, the website is harvestministryteams.com, teams with an S. And if you're an adult who isn't in that season of life, there are other ways to connect to Harvest Ministry. We have the conference seasons that come up with opportunity to serve in as volunteers or in tech or hospitality or things like that. Or if there is a ministry kind of music person who is, you know, regular everyday adult day job life, then there are opportunities at times to go serve for like a 1 day or a 1 or 2 day event that might fit into your schedule. And I'd love to talk with you as well, because it'd be awesome to connect with more people who can play drums, play bass, play guitar, play keyboard, sing, do sound systems, do video stuff, and help put it together each and every weekend when Harvest travels to serve. One last announcement, and that is the announcement that I'm grateful for the ways that Harvest Ministry has an opportunity to reach into various aspects of the church and people involved in it. And so I just wanted to share again, our mission is to go out and to raise up, to go out to sing and serve and to share the love of Jesus and to raise up the next generation of disciples and ministry leaders. And we do that through several things. One is through sending teams, like I just mentioned. Number two, through resources, which this podcast is included in that, the Tim Price blog and Christian Life and Leadership podcast, and also the Worship Leader Toolbox podcast. And each of those can be found along with our Faithful Friday devotion podcast. if you just go to our website and then look up podcast, harvestministryteams.com/podcast. And in addition to that, we also have music. And so Harvest Ministry has a lot of music that you can find at harvestministryteams.com/music. And we would love for you to participate in that, share it, listen, engage, and just be a part in general with us. Each of those things fall under this umbrella: the social media, the music, the podcast, the ministry, the traveling, the music, the summer teams, the conferences. All of that falls under the umbrella of Harvest Ministry, which has been going since 1996. And just a big thanks to each person who has connected in some way, big or little, in this endeavor over all these years. If you're interested in finding out more, we are opening up spaces for new people to join us in partnership for Harvest Ministry through prayer and through giving. And if you're interested in finding out more about that, I would love for you just to send me a note and we can set up a time to share the vision and talk personally about it. The website again is harvestministryteams.com. The blog post today for these four things is timpriceblog.com, and I look forward to speaking with you later. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. We hope this has been encouraging and helpful to you. Stay in touch with us at timpriceblog.com. Until next time, keep following in the footsteps of Jesus and lifting up the name of the Lord. Thanks for your work in ministry.